Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like plenary verbal inspiration. God inspired every word of Scripture, guiding the human authors as they wrote without violating each man's personality and writing style. In the Bible, we have the very Word of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, are you ready to play federal head?
Absolutely.
You be the judge. You represent the tens and tens of people listening to this here Wretched Radio program regarding just war, specifically the skirmish that we're currently in the Middle East. Now, I don't know that you can call it a war. It seems like a war. It's just, I don't know that it's been formally waged. It's more, I think they're just calling it some military exercises. Even so, want to make sure that we are able to criticize rightly or wrongly any government, including our own, if it is not bearing the sword rightly. We want to make sure that even if we like the people in power, that they are acting as biblically as possible, knowing that these situations, they're always complex. Nothing is tidy about this conversation. Nevertheless, I think the principle of just war, and it was, by the way, it wasn't just inside of the church. I think that Plato talked about this, or at least Aristotle talked about the concept of just war. Augustine definitely did, and probably the biggest contributor to the conversation, at least inside of the church, was Thomas Aquinas. And he came up with, depending on who you read, about 5 or 7 different criteria for what makes a war just and what makes it unjust. Jimmy, here we go. You're the judge. You decide. Here's criteria number one.
Okay.
Just cause. Got to be a just cause. It excludes wars of conquest for material gain or wars of revenge. A just cause does not include subjugating the citizens of other countries. All right, you got two parts there. In your opinion, is this cause just?
Yes.
Why?
Potentially.
Why? Well, that didn't help.
Well, I mean, you just got to make sure that it's...
You're getting all political.
No. I'm not. No, I'm not. But... obviously, there's been a lot of Iranian attacks on American citizens. So, yeah, I mean, it falls under that.
They've been also killing their own citizens. Now, yeah. That makes it tricky too, doesn't it? Because they're not our citizens. The number, I think, if I recall, is like the mullah. This is from Richard Land's article. The mullahs have probably murdered as many as 30,000 of their own people who were demonstrating against them in the last 45 days. All right, a question would be, is it up to a foreign nation like ours to inject ourselves because their citizens are being treated so poorly? Well, I would say that would be a just cause. It would be a just activity. I don't know that it answers the question, is that our duty? And I don't even know that it answers the question, is that our right to do that? But the cause must be just. It can't just be about taking their booty.
Well, I'd also add that is it 8 or 10 nuclear weapons they have?
Well, there's that.
Yeah. So I.
Yeah. No. It's the threat, but that falls into category number two. Must be defensive. So now there is a caveat in must being defensive, and that is if it is it appears to be, but using our best reason and judgment, that it appears that an attack on our soil or against Americans is imminent, you can preempt that attack. You can get ahead of that one so that they aren't able to cause mass destruction. But the basic premise or principle of must be defensive, point number two, that this does not mean nations have to wait to be attacked. If it is clear that other nations are actively preparing to attack you, you do not have to wait until they go for it. And it cites, by the way, the Six-Day War in 1967. The surrounding nations, they were getting ready to attack Israel. Israel struck first, and it just, they won in the first 2 hours of the conflict. That was, that was, that was a good thing. Now, for instance, back in America, let's just say that our defense systems, our intelligence had learned what Japan was up to with Pearl Harbor. Could we have struck first? Yes. Now, that's why this always gets a little bit tricky, because the question is about intelligence. Do we know? Do we really know? Are we really certain we know? Or do we just really have an agenda underneath it? There can't be underlying agendas. It can't be about revenge. It can't be about, we just want to get their stuff. Or even, we want regime change. That's kind of another category into itself. So, Jimmy, are we being defensive with Iran?
I think so.
You're not real confident on these.
Well, I just want to make, I'm...
All right. Number three, last resort. Every reasonable effort should be made to resolve conflict before violence is used. And that does not require endless delays. You have to be reasonable in your desire. You should be, your trajectory is want peace. We don't want people dying. We don't want to have to blow stuff up. We want our boys to stay home. It must be a last resort. Do you think this was a last resort, Jimmy?
I can't answer that. I don't know for sure. I don't know.
It kind of seems like it.
Yeah.
That they did make efforts. They have tried other things. And by the way, Iran has been pretty salty for the last, since 1978, I think. So this isn't anything new, by the way. Number four, non-combatant immunity. So civilians cannot be deliberately targeted. We know in war, there are very, very unfortunate casualties that include civilians. Tragically, it's going to happen, but it can't be intentional. Jimmy, I don't think we're seeing that, are we?
No, I don't think so either.
Prudential judgment. Is it likely the good gained from armed conflict will outweigh the cost in human life and suffering? Oh, that gets so tricky, doesn't it? Oh, that's A-bomb from World War II. That's the argument that millions more would have died if we didn't. Versus if we did, got to tell you, I wouldn't have wanted to be the president making that decision. I wouldn't want to be the president, period. But I definitely wouldn't have wanted to make that call. But that is a part of just war theory. President Trump, writes Richard Land, repeatedly tried nonviolent initiatives, limited violent actions, just going after the nuclear facilities. Iranian mullahs remained openly defiant. Turning point appears to have been when Iranian negotiators bragged they still had significant amounts of enriched nuclear material, which would be enough to make 11 atomic bombs within, say, less than a month. And so Richard Land's conclusion is it does appear to be a just war. Jimmy, what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree. I think it is.
All right.
You?
And you're willing to... to have even more people go over there to deal with it.
I mean, I guess, yeah.
See, those types of decisions, they kind of need to be weighed as time rolls on with these things.
And it's so hard for you and I to make those decisions when there's so much we don't know.
But which is why you really want godly politicians in office, because if you don't have them, well, then you're probably going to be second guessing all the time. All right, Jimmy, then I've got just one final question for you.
Okay.
Which one is Gog and which one is Magog? Just curious. Let me now apologize for the segue that you're about to hear. Speaking of warfare, at the Chosen Con. What is a Chosen Con? Well, it's the all the rage, the Chosen series. They did a conference, 4,500 attendees. Dallas Jenkins and Jonathan Rumi reflect on spiritual warfare. That was a segue. See, war, spiritual warfare.
Yeah. I see what you did.
And I still, to this day, I can't understand why KD.
WB.
You almost swallowed that word. That consonant almost went down real hard.
You caught me off guard.
Can't believe I didn't get hired for segues like that. They were talking about spiritual warfare. Have you been getting all the emails, Jimmy? Jonathan Rumi, you know, he's the fellow who plays Jesus or a Jesus knockoff on The Chosen, because they put words into his mouth. Have you been getting the Easter thing with him? He's a part of something where it's like praying the rosary and doing your Catholic mysticism stuff. It's a really heavy push. He's Roman Catholic, and he has been given a massive platform. And I'm sorry, but I do believe it's going to contribute to unbiblical ecumenism between evangelicals and Roman Catholics. I'm sure he's a very likable fellow, super popular, obviously. And so I guess he's just Roman Catholic, so I guess that's like, okay. And he, I'll tell you something, whew, talk about a full court press. He is everywhere, and he is overtly aligned with the Roman Catholic Church. By the way, Jimmy.
Yes.
ShepCon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, don't, no, ChosenCon. I'm sorry, that's different.
Completely different ends of the spectrum.
Actually, I'm hoping Phil Johnson, I can't remember the, it was a great title. It's like the Hellish Doctrine, something like that. I think he was preaching against annihilationism at ShepCon. We're going to share a great deal of that here on Wretched. ChosenCon. Jimmy, when you use your AI machine, 4,500 attendees, how much did it cost to go to that little chosen con to hear them talk about spiritual warfare? Next on Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, there's no shortage of voices telling women how to handle anxiety, how to navigate relationships, how to find their identity. Honestly, most of it sounds pretty good until you realize it's just self-help slapped with Bible verses. That's not the same thing as biblical wisdom, and that's why we at Fortis Institute present to you The Better Way with Libby Glosson. Libby is an ACBC certified biblical counselor, and she's not just interested in giving you coping strategies. No, Libby's desire is to take you to scripture and show you what God actually says about the things that you're actually walking through. And this is the kind of content our gospel partners are making possible. If the content we're producing at Fortis Institute has been meaningful to you, I want to ask you to prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out what it would look like for you to be a part of getting content like The Better Way into the hands of women who need it. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. You ever been sitting in a sermon and your pastor drops a Greek word like he actually expects you to know what it means?
Well, in the original Greek, the word metanoia, and you're just nodding along like you totally followed that.
Well, what if you actually could follow it? Our resource, It's Not Greek to Me, is a basic Greek primer that teaches you to read your New Testament in the original language. It's not seminary-level memorization. It's just enough to understand what your pastor's talking about, to get more out of commentaries and footnotes, and do your own word studies so you know exactly what God intended to communicate. There's 10 lessons. It's perfect for individuals and families and Sunday school classes and homeschoolers or just anyone preparing for a more serious study down the road. This is the language that God himself chose to write your New Testament, and learning it, even the basics, will change the way you study Scripture. It's Not Greek to Me. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Okay, so if you admit it, you're like the rest of us. You've got 47 streaming services, and you're paying for at least 6 of them. But somehow, every night, you sit down on the couch and you say, there's nothing to watch. Meanwhile, Fortis Plus is sitting right there for free on your Roku, your Fire TV, Apple TV, Android, hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours of content on theology, marriage, parenting, manhood, cultural issues, stuff that actually matters. And you know what? We keep adding more. Yeah, of course, you could scroll through Netflix for like 45 minutes looking for something that won't rot your brain, or you could pull up Fortis Plus and learn something that'll actually help you be a better husband, dad, or Christian by the time the credits roll. Download the Fortis Plus app right now. It is absolutely free, and it's on your TV. And unlike that true crime documentary that you've watched 3 times at least, it might actually do you some good.
Attributes of God. What does God's patience look like? 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is not hurried, nor has he forgotten his promises. God will bring about the fulfillment of his eternal plan in due time." This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ka-ching! This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, I beat you on the AI machine.
Yeah, mine's still thinking.
Tickens? No, it's not.
It is.
Yours is busted, man. You got something wrong. Your AI has issues.
I must need to subscribe.
Tickets, that could be. Tickets for Chosen Con, varied. Chosen Con, if you didn't know, that's The Chosen, the TV series, which is an international sensation. I think they're doing one more season. And all of God's people said, whew. Tickets for Chosen Con varied depending on the package you bought. For 2026, the event took place February 19th through 21. You ready for this? The experience package. Yeah. The full convention access, $399 per person.
Wow.
Before taxes and fees. The impact package, that would be VIP style access with extra sessions and perks, $979. Single day passes, $150 for Friday or Saturday. Oh, well, look at this. This is good. Here's a deal. Kids 3 to 17 get a 20% discount on some packages. Resale tickets showed around $355 average and $486 minimum with fees depending on demand. In other words, take 4,500 people times, let's just even be fair, for 2 days. So it'd be, well, 4,500 tickets. I don't know how it works out. Let's just say times $200 average. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hold on.
That can't be 900,000, is it? 4,500 times 200. Yes, this is why we don't have a real occupation that involves any math skills right here. What is it?
If I don't know.
Well, you got a calculator right there. Didn't they teach you how to use that when they taught you the ABCs and the 1, 2, 3s? Okay, what?
4,500 times, you said 200?
Yeah.
900,000.
You know, I'm reticent. Yes, I'm reticent to ponder this because I think that a man, if a man, even in ministry, let's say makes somehow for whatever, sells a ton of books and makes a lot of money, I actually say good on him. Now, what he does with that money, I think is another question. And there's going to be some liberty in those areas, but shouldn't we at least be raising a bit of a Spock eyebrow to go, how much is Chosen making off of stories about our Savior? I think that that's a reasonable question. If you are going to use our religion to make money because it's a for-profit organization, shouldn't we at least have the right to know that? Apparently at Chosen Con, Dallas Jenkins, Jonathan Rumi reflect on spiritual warfare, which happens to be providential because I was reading the Free Grace Broadcaster, the spring 2026 edition on spiritual warfare, quoting Ephesians 6:11, stand against the wiles of the devil. This is Thomas Brooks' contribution to spiritual warfare. Satan being fallen from light to darkness, from felicity to misery, from heaven to hell, from an angel to a devil is so full of malice and envy, he will leave no means unattempted by which he may make all others eternally miserable with himself. Does he think he's going to win this war? I actually think he does still, but I think he just hates Jesus so much. Can't get to him, he can get to us. And so he loves to wreak havoc. This is from, again, Thomas Brooks. From the power, malice, and skill of Satan proceeds all the soul-killing plots, devices, strategies, and machinations that are in the world. So any bad idea, any bad ideology, any false system, you can thank Satan for it, who probably throws about a bazillion of those bad ideas against the wall and waits for them to stick. Brooks cites four main strategies. These are the big ones, says Brooks. One, while he will restrain from tempting so that we may think ourselves secure and neglect our watch. So Satan's means of getting you to be apathetic is to not tempt you. I'm doing pretty good here. Look out for that. Another, this would be number two. While he will seem to flee so that he may make us proud of victory, he will fix men's eyes more on others' sins than their own. So that he may puff them up. Another, he may fix their eyes more on others' graces than their own, so that he may overwhelm them. According to Brooks, that's the big way he goes about it. Now, in another contribution in the same booklet, he talks about the wiles of the devil. And so he's going to share, this is Thomas Brooks, Dead Puritan, how does the devil go about his business of trying to wreak havoc with you? Device number one, to present the bait and hide the hook, to present the golden cup, but hide the poison, to present the sweet, the pleasure, and the profit that may flow in upon the soul by yielding to sin, and by hiding from the soul the wrath and misery that will certainly follow the committing of sin. Who just said this? The promise of sin versus the sting of sin. It always promises sweetness. It only gives you sour. It promises life. It only gives you death. It promises you joy. It always gives you despair. It promises you freedom, and it just puts you in shackles. That's what sin does. And so the devil likes to present stuff that you've earned. You deserve this. A lot of other people are doing it. Why shouldn't you have your share? Oh, don't worry. You won't get a disease. You won't destroy your marriage. Not you. You deserve this. Remedy? Keep at the greatest distance from sin and from playing with the golden bait that Satan holds forth to catch you. Be like Joseph. Run, bro, run. Just stay away from it. Don't get near. Don't play around the fringes. You can't hold a hot coal to your chest and not get burned. Hate it as hell itself. Hate sin with horror. The best way to prevent from falling into the pit is to keep it at the greatest distance. So this would mean for many radical amputation. If it's the internet that's causing you to stumble, get rid of it. Stay away from it. It's that place that causes you to stumble. Don't go to it. Run from sin. It is so sneaky. It will trip you up. Remedy number two from Brooks. Consider that sin is but a bitter sweet. The seeming sweet in sin will quickly vanish, and lasting shame, sorrow, horror, and terror will come into the room. You know what is another temptation the devil uses? Money, stuff. Get it. It'll make you happy. Lie. Once again, I'm sorry, I can't cite who just said this, or we just heard that we were watching some TV show or something. I think it was I'm quoting a TV show. One that I can't remember even. It was that money makes an excellent servant, but a horrible master. That's a good truth from a TV show. I don't know what we were watching, but it's true. And the devil uses money. No, it's all good. Go for it. And then it becomes your master and you're going to be miserable. Here's another remedy from Brooks. Solemnly to consider that sin will usher in the greatest and saddest losses that can be upon our souls. Ask Philip Yancey right now. Ask him. Ask any of these guys who have fallen lately. And by the way, have you noticed just an absolute slew of pastors that have been exposed for lifestyles of sin? I mean, it's all over the place. It's like, sweet Jimmy, it's funny. On Sunday at church, this was so sweet. This dear couple, I'd mentioned to them how this week I had seen so many of these stories. They're the pastor, the worship pastor, and then he commits suicide. There's people being accused of good, bad, and other, mostly bad churches, but even so, that are falling. And I mentioned that to them. And he said to me, and that's why we're committed to praying for you, Pastor Todd. Oh, man. Well, that's like love in action right there. That was so sweet. Be praying for your pastor. They're falling like things that fall. Remedy number four, if you don't want to find yourself in misery and regret, seriously to consider that sin is of a very deceitful and bewitching nature. Don't believe anything it tells you, because all it does is lie, and all it will do is cause such regrets. It'll compromise your testimony. It makes the devil titter, if not outright belly laugh. And it allows the world to just go, yeah, there it is. Uh-huh, sure. And you want the opposite of that. You want to be holy so that the world wants to know your Savior. Don't commit sin and give the world ample reason to reject the Savior. Although it's foolish to judge the object of faith based on some of the actions of some of its presumed followers, nevertheless, salt, light, don't fall. Don't besmirch the Savior's name and ruin your testimony and your life in the process. Hate sin and run, Joseph, run. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.